It's extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, Patrick Van Straten. I will be your host today. And I'm joined by Doogie Critchley, South London's finest amateur barber for this week's episode. How are you getting on, Dukes?
Yeah, love it. Love that. I need to get my barbering out there more often because I'm not doing very well. I'm playing a lot of poker at the moment online. I was playing till quite late last night and that didn't go to plan. I lost in the last couple of minutes and wrapped up around 12:30. So I'm sorry about my appearance. I probably look a bit, you know, bushy-eyed and bushy-eyed is when you look fresh. I know, tired, effectively. Looking forward to this podcast, though. We've got a good one, I think.
Sorry, so you were playing over Zoom with your friends?
Yes.
How do you get the cards? Do you have to use an app?
Yes, you use an app. So we were using an app called Poker Club, but there is one called Poker Stars as well, which I've had more success in the past. And you transfer your mate 10 quid before you start, the sort of dealer, as it were. And he gives out the cash at the end. So you have to have some trust in your mates. And one guy's already trying to lower it from 10 to 5. So there's already a bit of high jinx having lost. But it is good fun. Are you a poker player yourself, Pat?
I am. I haven't played for a long time, but I remember playing quite a bit at uni. And I remember a couple of times doing quite well. Though our games were always ended by just mutual agreement. You know, it would always get to the point where there were two people left in it and you just split up the money based on how many chips you had, because like inevitably when it gets down to two, people start playing so conservatively.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem last night.
But I remember funding a couple of nights out, like when I had a lucky streak.
Hello.
But I haven't played for a while.
High roller,
I
love
it. For a while. Well, it doesn't take much to fund a night out at university.
True, that's true. £1 shot.
It was like a fiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was actually a very good natural brand integration there for a brand which has not paid us to integrate them. So PokerStars, let us know if you want to involve us up. Actually, on the topic of gambling, obviously, you know, you don't want to discuss the current situation as if it's a good thing. But I will say that before the lockdown began, I had a bet with Milad from the beginning of the year that Marcus Rashford would get 15 goals or more in the Premier League, and he said 14 or fewer. Marcus Rashford got injured when he was on 14. And obviously, because of the way the season was going, it looked very unlikely that he'd be able to come back in time to actually play a part in the latter stages of the season. Whereas now, if he comes back and plays and scores one more goal before the end of the year, then look, Milad will be embarrassed and will have to give me money. And to me, that is a sort of win.
I'm not sure whether you want to upset like a gambling addict like that, Milad. Like he'll just come back for more next year.
Oh, Milad Brooks. Yeah, but that's good. When he gets frustrated, that's when he starts making insane bets. So I've got that one with him, and I've got another one with Henry. Which is, I bet that Newcastle would finish 15th or lower in the Premier League.
God, he was very confident in Newcastle.
He's ahead on that one, but I still think I've got a pretty good shot there, to be honest. Like that one really could go down to the wire. So I'm intrigued to see how that'll end up. If the season doesn't get completed, you better believe that I'm going to call my lawyer and try and get out of that particular 20 quid bet.
I love it.
So today we were talking a little bit about how the transfer market is going to go this summer. Now, obviously, there are loads of stories at the moment about how teams are not going to have much money, how they're going to be restricted to maybe some free agent deals or cheaper ones. But the transfer rumor mill is in full operation. So what we kind of wanted to do is look at the players who are going on a free this summer or have 1 or 2 years left on their contract. And who you might be able to get for a kind of knockdown fee. So say you're a mid-range club and you've got aspirations of getting into the Champions League or just generally moving up in the world. How can you improve your squad this summer with the assumption that you're not going to have very much money to do it? So we've taken a little look at some of the players who are available this summer. And Dukes, it seems like there are actually a lot of really exciting players with a year left on their contract or whatever. But some of those, I'd say, would probably be a little bit too expensive for this discussion, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's obviously lots of speculation around sort of James Rodriguez and Paul Pogba, of course. It's not a summer without lots of speculation around Paul Pogba and Leroy Sané. But, you know, Sané and Pogba will still cost at least 80 million, I would have thought, probably more. And James Rodriguez, from what I've read, is on about £280,000 a week at Real Madrid. So it's going to be really difficult for any club to bring him in, unless Everton go absolutely supernova, because their majority shareholder, Farhad Moshiri, is an Iranian billionaire, does have the cash. But I'm not sure whether they want to do that necessarily. So it'll be interesting. But there's plenty of, more sort of attractive options as well, Pat.
Yeah. I mean, Aubameyang, you could argue, kind of sits between the cheaper options and the more expensive options, in that he might go for a slightly knockdown fee. But I think it's going to be really weird there, because Arsenal fans don't want him to go because he's their best striker. But on the other hand, the sensible thing to do is probably to sell him. If you give him a new contract, you're probably going to have to give him a wage boost, a long contract that lasts into his mid-30s. Whereas if you sell him, you can then reinvest in some other areas of need around the squad. The problem with that is you'd need to sell him early in a transfer window so you'd have the money to then go out and get guys. And if you want to sell him early in the transfer window, then clubs are going to know that you're going to accept a knockdown fee. And then you're in a position where maybe you're getting 40 million or 50 million. Do you think that the transfer market this summer could be determined by one or two early moves? Because it seems like it could be reset by this whole situation in a similar way to the way the Neymar deal kind of changed everything to make everything more expensive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it will definitely be a resetting. I think agents have already said as much as well. I think we'll see, you know, where before sort of players that would have before been valued around £40 million going for sort of 60, 70. I think that will be completely reset. They'll be going for between 30 and 40. And I think we'll see a lot more swap deals as well. I think there'll be clubs that will be quite intelligent and realise, you know, that say Arsenal have to get rid of Aubameyang given his contract situation. Maybe they could say to Real Madrid, can we get Luka Jovic? Or Barcelona, can we get Ousmane Dembele thing in? I think this will be the summer where swap deals become really quite beneficial for both clubs. If it can be sorted out, although with swap deals, you've obviously got two agents to deal with, you've got two sets of contracts to work out. They're not easy, but I think it could lead to a bit of an increase in swap deals.
Yeah, I completely agree. So let's go into our player acquisitions then and have a look at who we're taking. So just to clarify this a little bit, the team I've had in mind is kind of Arsenal. You know, just for
Makes
the
sense.
Signings I'm targeting are kind of for a club of about that size, and with probably some limited funds, but a little bit of money to do a couple of things. Have you picked a team, just to kind of clarify your thoughts?
Yeah, I have. I went actually for Valencia. They're not a team that I take a particularly big interest in, but I thought they could be quite interesting for this because they've had a pretty weird La Liga season, which I'll get into in due course. But yeah, Valencia is the club I had in mind.
Yeah, so what we're doing here is not exactly rebuilding Valencia and Arsenal, but essentially showing the cheap signings you could make to get your team into the Champions League this summer. So, Dougs, what do you think are the areas of need and where do you think you can find value in the current transfer market?
Well, there's for Valencia or for any, you know, Valencia have struggled defensively massively this year. No one has conceded more than their 39 goals in the top 11 in La Liga. And they have the third worst defence according to expected goals. They've actually conceded the same amount of goals as 19th place Leganés. Despite being 7th, they're still only, I think they're 5 points off 3rd place Sevilla and 4 off 4th place Real Sociedad. But they've really got there through, I don't really know how, to be fair, because none of their forwards have particularly shone either. Maxi Gomez is their top scorer with 9 goals. Kevin Gamero's chipped in with a couple. Danny Parejo, Ferran Torres. But they're the only players to get over 4 goals. So for Valencia or any club looking for defensive recruitment, I thought of a couple of players. And with Valencia in mind in particular, Jose Gaya has been linked with a move for quite a number of months now. Chelsea was supposedly interested. PSG was supposedly interested as well. So for a left back, they could look at Hassan Kamara, who Joe mentioned on the podcast a couple of months ago at Reims.
Yeah.
Very good defender. Like close to 6 tackles and interceptions, but quite unproven. And Joe's point was quite crucial that he is very small, might not be.
I think he's like 5'6", 5'5".
Yeah, which might not be the best in, you know, a top 5 very physical league. So another player that I pulled out is Douglas Santos. He's 26. He's at the left back at Zenit St. Petersburg, who he joined from Hamburg last year. He's got a couple of years of Bundesliga experience, but then Hamburg got relegated. And at the end of last year, he just followed, I think probably followed a good money move for him. A lot of Brazilians have a history in Russia as well. It's not completely unheard of. And he's been absolutely phenomenal in Russia. So he's played 22 Russian Premier League games, 3.9 tackles and interceptions, which goes up to 4.8 in the Champions League. So he's a very solid defender. Two key passes and one dribble per 90. So what we're seeing from these stats is that he is too good for the Russian Premier League. Only 26. He actually, you know, builds a lot of their play there as well, despite being the left back. So over 50 passes per game, an 85% pass accuracy. And his contract expires in 2021. And he's got a market value, according to Transfermarkt, which always slightly undercut players' values, I always think, at 9.9. So I think you could get him for around £15 million, around that mark, maybe slightly more. And he'd be well worth a look at.
Yeah, he sounds like a really interesting player. Were his numbers also good in Germany?
Yeah, they were. But then, because his last two seasons, I think, in Germany were spent in the Bundesliga, the second tier. I didn't want to take too much from that. But when he was in the Bundesliga, he looked really exciting. But he was only about 22, 23 back then. So he seems like he's matured quite nicely. And for this sort of... I wouldn't necessarily recommend him for a club chasing the Champions League title. But for Valencia, I think he's quite a good pick.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've actually started off with a defender too, because I was looking at Malon Sarr, who is available on a free this summer.
Nice.
I think it was confirmed a couple of days ago by Nice that he will leave on a free transfer this summer, but his destination is not yet confirmed. And it's amazing to me that he hasn't signed a pre-contract with somebody, given his profile. I mean, he's been quite a big name in the transfer market for a few years now. Broke through in 2016-17, so he's only 21, but he's already got over 100 Ligue 1 appearances. And he's just a really good, active defender. He's 6 foot tall, so he's not huge, but he's extremely fast. And he's left-footed, which is always valuable
rarity,
in the market.
Yeah.
Really good passer, over 70 passes a game, 4 long balls, 90% accuracy. I think this season he's at 3.5 tackles and interceptions per game. And that's actually down from the previous season. He's making a lot of defensive actions for a centre-back. And he's always got very high interception numbers specifically. And that kind of makes me think that he has good game reading. You know, he knows when to step out and when not to. And despite the fact that he is quite an aggressive front foot defender, he only commits a foul every 2 games currently. So to me, he's got the kind of... I guess the aggression that you often see in young defenders, but without the propensity to commit errors.
Yeah, the carelessness. Carelessness.
Yeah. And...
I did not say that right.
But I just think he'd be an excellent signing. And if you're a club like Arsenal, I actually think that this is probably a good summer to put your hand in your pocket. I mean, he's obviously free, but you'd have to give him decent wages. But given that a lot of clubs are not really going to be investing, and the smaller clubs are extremely reliant for their continued financial health on money trickling down from the bigger sides, I think that it's probably a good window to go to some of these teams in Ligue 1 and in the Championship and say, you know, this star player who you would previously ask 30 mil for, we don't have 30 mil, but we'll give you 20, and maybe you can pick those guys up. And similarly, you know, when you are in contract negotiations with someone like Sarr, maybe you can say to him, look, we'll give you this initial salary of X amount. And then once we get back to a position where we're earning the normal amount that we get from match day revenue, you know, from TV money, we will boost your wages up. I think you could kind of bake that into somebody's contract early on and maybe nab yourself a good deal. But I think Malon Sarr is pretty much good enough to go to almost any club. Certainly on a free transfer, it's almost no risk whatsoever. He's a France youth international, 21 years old. What more could you want? And with Arsenal bringing in Saliba this summer, I think they'll probably try and shift Mustafi or Luiz or Socrates, preferably two of those. He seems like he'd be a very good signing.
Of those three that you just quickly before we move on, of those three, which would you most like? Obviously, you'd probably like to see Mustafi leave, but who out of David Luiz and Socrates would you most like to keep?
Probably David Luiz. I mean, they're both fairly error prone, but David Luiz adds a little bit more with his passing.
He's looked quite, he's looked much improved under Arteta, I thought, David Luiz, until the break.
Yeah, I think so as well. And more importantly, he just does give us a different option passing out of the back. Like, I think that's so helpful. And also, if you were to ever try and switch to a three at the back, you know, for particular games, I think he'd be extremely useful. With Sokratis, I just think Sokratis is a sort of big, aggressive, physical defender. Those attributes are only going to diminish as he gets older. Whereas David Luiz, those attributes have already diminished, but he's still got the passing at least. So probably Sokratis. But to be honest, if somebody comes in with a decent offer for either of them, I think you have to sell.
Yeah. But on Malang Sarr, I think that's a really good option. And there's a couple of quite interesting centre-back prospects that clubs could look at this year. I mean, you put down on your sort of reading that Tanganga's only got, I think it's 1 year left on his contract, doesn't he?
Yeah,
since coming into the Spurs team for that game against Liverpool, I think he's been absolutely awesome. I mean, it's limited minutes. I think he's only made 6 Premier League appearances, so only just over 500 minutes. But 4.8 tackles and interceptions, looks really good in the air. Comfortable playing at right back, comfortable playing at right centre back, comfortable playing in a 2 or a 3-man defence as well. Although I think it's quite unlikely Spurs would be willing to sell him, but he's not on a big he's not on a big wage. So could potentially look at that. And then my other centre back suggestion was 23-year-old Villarreal centre back Pau Torres, who only makes 1.8 tackles and interceptions per 90, which doesn't sound great, but like sort of Virgil van Dijk, he's not sort of a he's more of a reader of a game rather than like an aggressive centre back. So someone like Vincent Kompany was always very aggressive. Pau Torres is a back foot defender. Completes 92% of his tackles when he goes in for the ball. For a bit of context, Van Dijk is on 80% this season. So his decision making is really solid. His execution on when to come in and make an impact is really good as well. 45% aerial duel win rate doesn't sound great, but I don't really know why that is, because his last two seasons has been well over 60%. So maybe he's just having a bit of a down year in the air. I'm not quite sure. But he's a really good passer as well. Close to an 85% pass accuracy, 59 passes per game. Completes more long balls per 90 than Jasper Cillessen in Valencia's goal. That's why I looked at him. And Barcelona are supposedly interested in him, which is the only slight concern. But his market value is around £14 million. So he could be another player that you'd potentially want to look at centre-back.
Yeah, plus we've talked before about Mohamed Salisu at Valladolid, who has supposedly a €12 million buyout clause. I remember as well, you at one point, I think, it might have been on the podcast, brought up Reims centre-back Axel Disasi, who is also, I believe, available for a song this summer. He might have a contract that's coming to an end next year.
Oh, nice. I don't actually remember bringing him up. Maybe it was someone else.
Yeah, well, he's a 22-year-old centre-back who's performed very well this season, alongside Hassan Kamara at Reims. But who else have you got? Who else are you looking at?
So I was really got quite excited this morning when I found someone on Who Scored. I've got to admit, I don't watch a lot of AZ Alkmaar, but I was really excited when I looked at his stats and then watched him on YouTube. You can never really get a good judge of a player on YouTube. So I did put out...
Is this Myron?
No, it's not. It's Toyn Koop Meiners. My Dutch pronunciation is awful. But he's a 22-year-old who came through the AZ Alkmaar Academy. He can play at centre-back or defensive midfielder. And he's capped all the way up to the Dutch under-21 levels. He's got 3 years of experience playing for RZ. And he's made 27 appearances this season in midfield, but can also play in defence. And he just looks absolutely phenomenal at that level. So he's got 14 goals and 3 assists from central midfield or defence in 33 league and Champions League games. Admittedly, he takes penalties and set pieces, but he can hit free kicks. Like he's sort of like Virgil van Dijk on free kicks, similar to when van Dijk was at Celtic anyway. He's just got so much technical quality. And from his highlights on YouTube, like he is a phenomenal ball player. There was one ball that he played over the top for, I think it was Baudu, in the game against Ajax away from home, which led to an assist, which was just absolutely perfect. And his stats look a bit like this. So he completes 3.1 tackles and interceptions, which rises to 3.6 in the Europa League. Obviously, these are slightly skewed by the fact he plays in midfield and defence, so it's difficult to get a judge mm-hmm. of where he really plays, or where his statistics show he should play, rather. But also, fires off 1.4 shots, 1.1 key passes, and 1.2 dribbles. And he's an excellent passer. He completes over 82%, which I think was in the top three of RZ's side. And they've been phenomenal this year. They've been really unfortunate for their league to be cancelled, because they looked like they were going to take Ajax all the way. 87% pass accuracy, over 5.8 long balls per game. And he's been linked with Everton, because Marcel Brands, their director of football, obviously is Dutch, and he's got a lot of contacts in the Netherlands. So Valencia or any other side looking for a defensive midfielder or centre-back option might have a bit of a fight on their hands. But, you know, looks phenomenal from the stats, and I can't wait to watch more of him play.
Well, I looked at the Eredivisie as well, because I think, obviously, it is generally a little bit of a risk to take a player from there. Mm. But I think clubs are going to have to take some low-value risks. And a guy who'd caught my eye was Luis Sinisterra, who is a Colombian attacker playing for Feyenoord. He can kind of play across the attacking band. He's 20 years old, but he's got a year left on his contract this summer. 9 goals and assists in about 1,600 minutes this campaign. It's pretty decent. 0.5 expected goals per 90. It's good. It could be better, but it's still pretty good. And when you look into his numbers, he's got 2 shots a match, 1.5 key passes. More importantly, 3.5 dribbles. He's an amazing dribbler. And around 3 tackles and interceptions as well, in a side which is generally, you know, better than most of the teams they come up against in the Dutch league. I think that he's quite an interesting, versatile option if you were, say, a Southampton, or if you are an Arsenal side looking to maybe plug some gaps. So I think they've probably got enough wide youngsters. But Sinisterre, he's one of those guys that, if he's available for a knockdown fee this summer, I think you pick him up and say, you know what, maybe we loan him out, maybe we give him some development minutes, but most importantly, we get this guy on our books because he's so young. Mm. And it's amazing to me how some of these players are able to run down their contracts. So a guy I looked at in midfield is Pierre-Emile Højbjerg Southampton. He's 24 years old, also a year left on his contract this summer. And he has quietly had an amazing season under Ralf Hasenhüttl, or Hasenhüttl, I should say. 4 tackles and interceptions a match, 1.3 dribbles with a 75% success rate. So he's kind of your cut-price Thomas Partey in the middle of the park.
Yeah, that's class.
60 passes a game, loses possession under once a match. And this year, he's getting the ball into the final third about 4.5 times a match, which is good. Last year, he was doing it about 7 times a match, which is elite. I mean, like, that's really, really good. And he was doing it on a Southampton side, which basically had absolutely no attacking power whatsoever. I mean, obviously as well, this is a guy who played under Pep Guardiola, Bayern Munich. Like, he's got some pedigree, and he's now worked under Hasenhüttl as well. So he's played in a pressing system. He can do a little bit of everything in the midfield. I don't think he'd cost you an arm and a leg with a year left on his deal. And I think his wages would be pretty reasonable as well. So if you're a club like Arsenal, like Valencia, or maybe even someone like Roma, I think that this is a really good utility player to have in your team. And I think if none of those sides pick him up, I could really imagine like a Borussia Dortmund swooping for someone like Højbjerg.
That'd be class, yeah. I mean, thinking of Partey there, did you see what his agent did the other day on social media?
Was this the thing where he said like gracias or something?
No, he said like they did like a poll, and it was like pick Partey's next club.
Jesus.
On like an Instagram post. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, Højbjerg, as you say, would be a great option. I feel we've mentioned it a couple of times now, but Man United could really do with someone to hold that midfield in the sort of holding role. I don't know why they continue to be linked with the likes of Milinkovic-Savic, etc. I think now you've got Bruno Fernandes in, and if you lose Pogba, I'd reinvest more in a defensive midfielder or someone who has massive defensive output, and then use Fred and Bruno Fernandes or McTominay and Bruno Fernandes at either side. And I think that's, you know, a midfield that might not win you a league, but it will get you back in the reckoning for top four consistently. Further forward, with Valencia in mind, I obviously had to take into account that Ferran Torres might leave this summer. He's been linked with Dortmund quite heavily to replace Jadon Sancho. Before I go any further, just sorry, if you can hear the sort of party that's going on outside my girlfriend's house, there's a bit of a Brixton reggae party, so apologies if that's coming up over the audio.
What?
Can you hear it?
Is it Is it a little bit? But is it a socially distanced party, dude?
I'm not quite sure. It's just, it's booming out through the window, which is closed, but you can still hear it quite loudly. That's, it's got 11:35 on a Friday. You know, it's party time. Anyway, so Ferran Torres' replacement, that's what I was going for. So Eric Lamella, I thought, has probably timed out at Spurs, to be honest. He's been there for 7 years. And I think Mourinho would be happy to get rid of Lamella, to be totally honest. He's never really, despite not being that injury prone, I had in the back of my head that he was really injury prone. He's actually only missed 13 games since the start, since the end of 16-17. And all those games came this year. But he still hasn't played more than 25 league games in each of the last four seasons. So he's never been a first choice. His contribution's been pretty solid in 200 appearances. But I think Spurs fans probably wouldn't cry over Lamella's departure too much and would be probably willing to let him go. He's actually only 28, so he's got at least 2 years of pretty top-level service. And I quite like to see him be the main man at a club like Valencia. I think it'd be quite a good move for him. So he's only made 17 appearances this season in the league, but only 10 of those have been starts. 2 goals and 1 assist, which doesn't sound great. But his underlying numbers are still pretty solid. So 2.3 shots, 1.6 key passes, 1.7 dribbles. And his expected goals and assists is 0.27, which doesn't sound great. But that's the first time it's been below 0.55 per 90 in each of the last three seasons. So he can still do it. But if you wanted someone a bit younger than Eric Lamella, I was also thinking Bertrand Traoré. There's been loads of speculation that clubs in France are going to be in quite difficult financial situations with the league being cancelled now. And Lyon obviously haven't ended up in the Champions League places. Their president Jean-Michel Aulas is trying to make, trying to get them into the Champions League for next year on the basis of where they finished last year. Marseille kicking up a fuss. So Lyon's finances could be in a bit of a situation. And Bertrand Traoré, similar to Lamella, despite being a very good player, hasn't had a great campaign. Only 14 starts in the league this year, 1 goal and 3 assists. But expected goals suggest that should be 3 of each. And yeah, 2.6 shots, 1.5 from inside the area. He's a really, I think he's a very good player from that right wing. I'm not sure he's ever going to be elite or anywhere close to world class, but at 24, I think he could be a pretty useful contributor for someone in La Liga chasing Champions League football or around that fourth, third spot. And 0.48 expected goals and assists per 90 in a down year. Is pretty solid, really. So Bertrand Traoré or Lamella, I think, would be pretty easy pickups that could be quite feasible this summer.
Yeah, I think those are really nice signings, especially for a club of, say, Spurs' size or maybe a Roma or Valencia. I think that would make a lot of sense. I mean, a guy I was looking at who I didn't realise was coming to a year from the end of his contract, but this one to me seemed like kind of a no-brainer for Arsenal. If Arsenal can't get a Jovic or a Dembele or somebody in part exchange for Aubameyang, and they can't go out and get an Osimhen or someone like that as well, I think a really interesting move could be Arkadiusz Milik.
Okay. He's had a great year.
He's got a year left on his deal this summer. And I think that there's a lot of concern about him still because of that injury he had 2 years ago. But that was 2 years ago now. And since then, last year, he was at 0.65 expected goals and assists per 90. This year, he's at 0.83. So he's only played 1,200 minutes in the league, though in a pretty ramshackle Napoli side. He scored 9 goals. Last year, he got 17 goals and 3 assists, which is really, really impressive. I mean, this is a guy who's taking 4 shots a game and has done pretty much the whole time. Well, he was doing it in the Netherlands and he's done it pretty much the whole time he's been in Italy as well. Mm. 1 key pass as well. And he only turned 26 in February just gone. So you've got quite a few. So if you're a club like Arsenal, where you're potentially losing Aubameyang, but you do have Lacazette there and you do have Martinelli there, but you want some more depth because you're maybe not sure, then I think Milik would make a lot of sense because you know that if he gets injured, it's not a disaster because you've still got Lacazette and Martinelli. If he's amazing, then great. He'll be your starting centre forward. He's young enough to make a decent contract worthwhile. Again, because he's coming out of Serie A, I don't think his wages would be obscene. I think he'd make a lot of sense for Arsenal. I think he'd make a lot of sense for Spurs as well. Like, I mean, yes, it would be difficult to go from like starting centre forward for Napoli to maybe a backup forward at Spurs. But I think it's pretty clear at this point that the backup centre forward at Spurs is going to get a decent number of minutes. Harry Kane is more injury prone than Arkadiusz Milik over the last two seasons, to be sure. And you can offer him much bigger wages. I really think that there should be quite a lot of suitors for him. And if it weren't for his injuries, I do think we'd be talking about him as a signing for a top club. But because those clubs are going to be a little bit suspicious, I think this is an opportunity for a smaller team to go out and get him. I think even Leicester might want to think about it. If you could get him for a knockdown fee, you know, maybe 30 mil or something because of his injuries and because of the current financial situation, that would be an amazing signing. And he'll see you through for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, he's such a good finisher. And he's such a good physical specimen when at full fitness as well. Really strong, really powerful, surprisingly quick as well. My only concern is that I'm not sure Napoli will want to lose Mertens, possibly Koulibaly and Alan in the same summer. Supposedly,
sure,
Koulibaly and Alan are going to leave this summer. I know Koulibaly's linked with a load of Premier League clubs, which we discussed in more detail on Continental Club last Friday. So that would be my only concern. But yeah, I like it as a shout.
But if you sell like Koulibaly and Alan, though, you might still just lose Milik for free next year. That's the thing. Like, if you're going to sell one of those players, you'd be better off selling Milik, right? Because you can keep Fabian Ruiz on a long contract. I don't know how long Alan and Koulibaly have left, but they've probably got more than a year.
I forgot that Milik's only got a year. Okay. That does change it.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I know what you're saying. Like, you wonder if they're going to be willing to overturn the entire squad. But this is a summer where, as bad as it sounds, like, teams with money can go in and strong-arm teams without money.
For sure. And, you know, it's not just that some teams will have more money. The opposite also works. The selling club will be even more desperate for money as well. So it's not just about who's got the most money. It works both ways. So Napoli could be forced into a bit of a tricky situation. My striker, I didn't spend a long time on this one because for Valencia, in this case, they don't really need one. It's not an area of particular concern. They've got Maxi Gomez, who has had a solid debut campaign. Kevin Gamero, who I think is 32 now. So he could possibly be replaced. And Rodrigo as well, who hasn't had a great campaign in front of goal, but has got about 6 or 7 assists. So he's been pretty useful. But I thought a player that they could look at for the future is 20-year-old Dusan Vlahovic from Fiorentina. Only signed from Partizan Belgrade in 2018. Didn't play a lot in 18-19. Has made 22 Serie A appearances this term, only 10 starts. And has linked up really well with Chiesa. In those starts, and has 6 goals, close to 4 shots per 90, 0.5 key passes, which you probably want to see more of, but I think that could come. 1.6 dribbles, nearly 0.6 expected goals and assists per 90, which for a 20-year-old is really quite impressive, albeit a lot of these minutes are off the bench, so I'd like to see him have a full campaign. So maybe this isn't for this summer, but could be one for next summer. Although the only downside is his contract does run until 2023. So Fiorentina won't be in any, you know, don't feel any need to sell really. And they'll want to see how he develops in Florence. So potentially one to keep an eye on rather than this summer maybe.
Yeah, well, I think that we've got some good players in there and there are plenty more bargains available. I mean, Michy Batshuayi's got a year left on his deal. Actually, let me just tell you some of the players who are out of contract or have a year left on their deal. Tongi Kouassi, the highly rated PSG centre-back. Meunier and Kazawa, they're both going on frees this summer. Willian, Mertens and Ryan Fraser are obviously all available on frees. And then out of contract next year, Gianluigi Donnarumma.
Tasty.
Which, I mean, is crazy. Bryce Mendes, Ricky Puig, who's obviously this highly rated young central midfielder at Barcelona. Pione Sisto. Arsenal's Bukayo Saka. Willy Bolly and Fabian Scher, if you wanted a cheap centre-back to kind of tide you over. Zielinski, Tonali, Martin De Roon, and El Cid Husay. So loads and loads of really good options there. I think that actually, like, you could build a very, very competent upper Europa League, lower Champions League side for almost nothing this summer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the name that particularly jumped out at me there, just because I've always thought he was really underrated, is Willy Bolly. I think he's a really, really good centre-back. And hasn't got enough credit at Wolves, and it has actually been quite unlucky with injuries this year, so slightly gone under the radar, but was crucial to them coming out of the Championship, establishing themselves last year. So Yeah, as you say, there's loads of talent in there. And a good mix of ages as well. It's not just the Mertens and Williams who are, you know, potentially over the hill. Well, yes, definitely over the hill. There's some young talent in there too.
Yeah, definitely. So it should be an interesting summer. But Dougs, thanks very much for joining me today.
No worries.
Is there anything you'd like to plug on the channel before we head off?
Go over to Eurofootball Daily and check out Stat Wars. Pat took on James Alcott last week in a very entertaining episode. Absolutely smashed him in the end, but it was a lot of fun nonetheless. And Joe took on Harry Pinero in Stat Wars the previous week as well. So go check out those. Show them some love.
Thank you very much, Dukes. And thank you guys for watching or listening. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you very much for continuing to support that. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure that you drop us a like and subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell to never miss a video. Thanks very much for consuming our content. And thanks to you, Dukes. We'll see you all next time.
Absolute pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
It's extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!